Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. That's Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. Have a couple of guests lined up tonight. I have the first half hour, Pastor James Manning. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of him, and if you haven't heard of him, you will hear of him. And I have an update at the bottom of the hour at 7:30 Eastern. From Carl Gallup, I understand there's some breaking news about his congressman there, one that turned him down and actually lied to him. I want to thank my host at the beginning of this week, Ann, who hosted the show. She did a great job. And Cowboy Joe. Boy, is he out there blasting away. He's got some voice and very patriotic. And Ann and Joe, you both did a great job. I really appreciate both of you. I promised the co-host to come on today and hang out with me, and he does hang out with me, and we do email back and forth and talk to each other, and he's going to be on the sidelines here, but I am going to bring him on right now, and many of you may know him. He has a blog. He's on a lot of talk shows. Actually, myself and him have been on several talk shows together besides this one, and with that, I am going to announce, hello, Lieutenant Commander Charles Kirshner, retired.
Hi, Mike. It's Commander. I'm full Commander. Retired.
Full Commander.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, somebody famously said, what was that, that senator that I worked hard for that title or something like that. Remember that one?
yes.
Nah, it's...
I'm waiting for...
same as Lieutenant Colonel in the Army. Same rank as Lieutenant Colonel 05.
Okay. Thanks for the update.
Great.
Thanks
for having me on tonight.
I didn't think we were going to have my call. You're welcome, Commander. I didn't think we were going to have my call screener on tonight. She has not been feeling well, but apparently she is out there screening calls, and I want to appreciate that. And Mona, thank you. Thanks again. I know she was... feeling ill at the beginning of this week. Commander, have you been on, have you gotten the D.P. Simmons' latest blog spot about the controversy with Carl Gallup and his congressman?
Well, I know that that he outed Congressman Jeff Miller of Florida for being basically the despicable, unethical behavior and denying that he ever had a meeting scheduled. That's what I know. Has something changed recently, today yet?
Yes.
Well, I'm not aware of that yet.
Yes. His office is fighting back, saying it didn't happen. Commander, I have our guest holding on right now at this time. And with that, if you don't know him, you will get to know him. It's Pastor James Manning from the Manning Report.
I know him very well. We were at the court-martial of Terry Lakin together.
Okay. Hold on a minute there, Commander.
They tried to arrest him there.
Yes.
Hello?
Dr. Manning, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you pick up, there's a line that says 347. That's the number he's on.
I don't have it yet.
You don't?
Nope.
Let me go and dial it again. It's going to be coming from a 347 number.
Oh, yes, I do have a 347
yes,
number. Thank you.
Okay. You'll pick that up, right?
Yes, I'll pick it up right now.
Thank you.
Hello?
Okay, Dr. Manning, I think we have you.
Oh, yes. I just have been hanging on for the last 5 minutes. I'm sorry that we're using a different number than we had initially stated, but I'm outside of our church building making this call. So that's why the confusion is. But I heard Commander Kirchner. You're starting out with him. And it's good to be on the show today. Thank you so very much for having me. I'm honored to be a part of your guest.
I'm just hanging on here, Dr. Manning. This is Commander Kirchner. I just remembered, I kind of recalled that we met down at Colonel Terry Lakin's court-martial, and remembered they tried to arrest you there.
Yeah, they hauled me out of the courtroom. I was standing there talking with Dr. Lakin's mother and father, and these burly guys come up and told me to follow them, these MPs, and they took me over to the lockup and kept me there, mm-hmm. my associates there for 3 hours.
I saw it happen.
Yeah, but it's good to hear you, Commander Kirchner. I haven't talked to you in quite some time. It's good to be on this broadcast tonight.
I'm just going to stand by and listen to you. So, Mike, take it away with Reverend Manning.
Reverend Manning, had me on your show once before, and you gave me the opportunity, and I appreciate that. And the amount of listeners that you had, I had no idea. And they created a firestorm again. It got my website going, and it got me motivated again. Reason I have you on the show tonight is I want to introduce you to my followers. I want people to know that this is a grassroots movement. I'm here doing what I can in my website with promoting the Sheriff's Kit, being in contact with Team Arpaio, and trying to get the information out on a daily grassroots basis. I met with my congressman. We have a lot of followers right now who are having a one-on-one meeting with their congressman and their town hall. But then we have Reverend Manning, who's been going at this every single day on a daily basis, day by day, who's been fighting this, who's had trials, who's had people escort him out of the rooms, like you just said. So, Reverend, why don't you tell my audience a little bit about yourself, how they can listen to your show, and what you've been doing for the past 5.5 years.
Well, thank you so very much, for having me. It's always an honor to discuss with you and be on your broadcast. I have been trying to warn America about the evil of Obama since 2008. In fact, early 2007, I think I had started here in New York City with one of the local Fox radio programs, trying to explain to them the evil that Obama represents, and the problems and the tragedy that would follow as a result. And no one listened to what we were saying. In fact, he had this overwhelming, if you will, election with people just going absolutely crazy about him. But Obama's a very evil man. I don't think we have seen evil in America on the level of what's in the hearts of Obama. Now, you know, when I say this, people call me a hater, they call me a racist, but I am not. I am not that at all. I'm simply speaking what is true and what is obvious. And over the past 5 years, all of it, if not most of the things I've said, all of them have been vindicated, or at least people have been able to come to terms with the fact that this is a very evil man, and he has taken our nation to a depth of absence of God. He has destroyed the Constitution. Here is a man who is not a U.S. citizen. On his birth certificate, it states that he was born, at least the illegal one that was presented, that he was born in 1961, and that in 1961, I think, in the ninth grade in North Carolina. We were not called African-Americans then. We were called Negroes or colored. And any birth certificate, any place else of any other black person in America, were they born in 1961, there was not African put on their that birth certificate. It was a Negro or colored. The other item was is that, and I knew this, I understood this when the issue of the birth certificate was raised. But the other item is that he stated that his father was a Kenyan. In 1961, Kenya was not a nation. It was a British protectorate. And it did not become Kenya until 1963. Now, the reason why I'm pointing this up is because all of this fraud and forgery is on his birth certificate. But the American justice system, the Supreme Court of America, the media, whether it be the conservative, Republican, or liberal, or Democrat media, not one of them will do a full investigation of this. And these are just some legal terms. I mean, it may not be the worst of things were he a person who was not as evil as he is. And I don't want to just talk of all the talk. I realize I only have half an hour here. But that's just some of the things that I think from a constitutional point of view that can be documented and demonstrated legally, which would then, for anyone who wants to call me a hater or a racist or an Uncle Tom for saying these things, then you have to ask yourself why, because they are true. The documents that have been presented, they've been entered into record, into media, and to every place else, demonstrating that his birth certificate is a forgery. And Dr. Terry Lakin gave up his medical practice, not willingly, but went to prison because he knows that Obama is not natural born, and therefore he's not constitutionally eligible to lead this nation, to be in charge of the FBI, to be in charge of the Treasury Department, to be in charge of the Supreme Court, and be in charge of every uniformed person in the military. He is not constitutionally eligible to sign any bill or make any laws. And this can be demonstrated by the simple facts I just presented there. So let me just start with that.
Dr. Manning, yeah, sure. you had a famous nickname for Obama. This is Commander Kirchner. It was something long-legged something. Maybe you can explain what that is.
The long-legged Mac Daddy. You know, on a more spiritual and social note, that name connotes someone who is a manipulator of women, someone who prostitutes out people. And the term Mac, in the black culture, young boys trying to demonstrate their sexual power, to ask young girls to call them, "I'm your daddy," call me your daddy. And then there are some other, and there's a high echelon of young black men, and it's been culturally a part of the black culture for the past 40, 50 years, that the young men that could then get women to give them money, they call themselves Macs. And then a Mac Daddy is someone who really does it from a professional point of view. Obama is a long-legged Mac Daddy, meaning he's the most successful pimp in America and the history of America, because he's pimping all of America. And many of the people who say they were voting for him because he was black and thought that would help lift the black race and would do something about relationships really were sexually attracted to him. They were enamored with the whole idea of, I call it jungle fever, because a lot of white women were jumping up and down and screaming over him. And it was all about sex. He's a pimp. He's a Mac Daddy. And he's pimping America right now.
Reverend, I'd like to go to something that you mentioned earlier. You're about the same age as me, Colonel Kirchner. Commander Kirchner, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned about the Negro and the black portion of the birth certificate, and that's one of the first things that stood out when the White House released it. And it was either Negro or black. Some places actually put colored in there. And
right.
It was not African American. I never heard of African American. The first time I ever heard of Africa, other than looking in the school book in school, was when Mutual of Omaha's A Wild Kingdom came on. There was never
right.
a term African. Nobody ever walked down the street saying, "I'm an African American." That didn't start till the mid-'80s, late-'80s, if I'm not mistaken.
Late-'80s, you're right.
Well, that was about the whole northern part of Africa, which is, basically Caucasian or Semitic origin.
So
Africa is a continent. It's not a race.
No, it's
well, actually, it just says African.
Side.
It doesn't say African-American. It says African in the birth certificate. I want to say it correctly.
Right. But you would have to then understand that everybody knows that socially, historically, that the term African was not applied to black to birth certificates, even if your father may have come from one of the nations in Africa. In America, in 1961, you were either colored or Negro, and occasionally there may have been the term black. And everybody knows this. Why is it? It represents that the birth certificate itself is a forgery. And then The thing is, the only reason why the birth certificate has to be a forgery is because he can't present a real one. And yet, he has the power of all this great and God-blessed nation of ours, and nobody would challenge him. Well, I shouldn't say nobody, but you would think the powers that be would challenge him.
Culturally, he's not even a, quote, African-American, unquote, as people like myself that grew up in this great country. I served in the military with many African-Americans, and Obama's not one.
Well, you know, there is a group that has been promoting the idea of reparations for black people as a result of slavery in America. I've never supported that idea. And there's an organization in Howard University that has kept these fires burning for many years to try to get America to pay reparations to black people for slavery. But one of the things, the criteria in order to be, according to this institute in Howard University in Washington, D.C., in order to qualify for reparation, you have to demonstrate that either you were a slave or your ancestors were a slave. Obama doesn't qualify. He doesn't qualify because his alleged father, Barack Obama Sr., was not a slave. He was born in Africa, and his mother was white. So he doesn't even meet the criteria of being an African-American in the true sense of what Jesse Jackson coined the phrase to be back in the very, very late 80s. And
well,
yet,
I'm a descendant of Pennsylvania German immigrants, and they were most all of them in my tree were indentured servants. They were like slaves for 10 years, and they worked their freedom. So maybe I should get some of that money too. You know, when it's all about money. You know, that's what it boils down to. They're using these so-called long-term grievances to try to get money out of people. That's what it's all about, right, Reverend?
Well, racism is a cottage industry for black people. Black people don't make automobiles. They don't manufacture combs. They don't have a fashion industry. They don't do banking. They don't, you know, make airlines or machine parts. They don't have General Motors or General Electric. Black people don't do that. I mean, if you look across the world, there are people, certain people with segments of a society that they contribute in manufacturing, banking, or economics. Black people have none of that. They produce none of that. Black people draw 95% of their interest, their income from racism. And whether it's through affirmative action, whether they go to college or whether they're working on jobs that they've gotten because of affirmative action, or whether it's food stamps or Section 8 or subsidized housing or subsidized schools or whatever, black people do not have an industry. The industry that they have is racism. Now, it hasn't always been that way, but that's what they do now. And reparations is the granddaddy of using racism to supply the 30 million black people with a continual source of income from America and from around the world.
Reverend Manning, what do you think of this latest revelation by Obama's body man, Reggie Love? Did you see that video clip where he...
Someone told me that there was an interview and that it was pulled down, and I was just made aware of it today just before I had to do another appointment, so I haven't been able to see it. But I have long since stated that Obama and Reggie Love are homosexual lovers. Everybody knows it. The media knows it. Those people that fly on the plane, Air Force One, those people in the White House knew that Reggie Love and Obama were homosexual lovers. But it goes back further than that. Obama had homosexual lovers in Jeremiah Wright's church. We were able to document that Jeremiah Wright ran a down-low organization, that is for black men who, you know, maybe have a college degree and doing okay. They may be married, but they don't want anybody to know that they're homosexual. But Obama and Reggie Love was in the White House for nearly 4 years with no official title except a special assistant to Obama. They were lovers. And so the world knows that as well.
And they took him out of the White House during the reelection in 2012 and then brought him back in after Obama won again.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
he's quiet.
But, you know, he has... Obama's vacationing now in Martha's Vineyard, which I call Negro Heaven. You know, cause a lot of black people that got a few dollars, they can, you know, they make more than $75,000 to $125,000 a year. They run up there to Martha's Vineyard to say, I've been to the elite place where black people go. Well, Obama and Reggie Love, the first time he went to Martha's Vineyard, flew there together, and Michelle, the fist bumper, his wife, flew on a different plane, and Bo the dog went on even a different plane. So they're back together again up there, and that love nest. And it's just despicable. It's disgraceful. And the media knows it, but the media have a vested interest in me. I have to be fair. John Kennedy was smooching up with Marilyn Monroe, and Bill Clinton was smooching up with a whole lot of people as well that the media did not report about. So on this, I have to be fair about it. When these men have their lovers in the White House, the media don't report it, but we all know it.
Well, those are violations of the Ten Commandments, but what Obama was doing is a sin against nature, if you ask me. I mean, not only a sin against God and the Bible teachings, but also a sin against nature. But that's my opinion, so...
And your opinion is dead on. Your opinion is accurate.
Did you know that Obama just is going to appoint or just appointed an openly homosexual general or in charge of the Secretary of the Air Force?
No, I'm not surprised or amazed.
I wouldn't
want
to be in active duty now serving under what Obama's doing. I'm glad I'm retired. It's disgraceful what he's doing to the military.
Yeah, I don't know how people of your character are staying in the military at this present moment. That's an imposition. It's forcing a lifestyle upon God-fearing people.
Well, look at Private Manning. He has the same last name as you, unfortunately, right?
I've called him my cousin.
he was dressing up as a woman during his time off. I mean, what's the military coming to?
Yeah, he's not in a relationship. Everybody knows. Yes, sir.
First, I have to acknowledge something that one of your loyal listeners, who was my call screener, who's my producer, got connected with me through your show. She's a loyal listener. Her name is Mona. She's out there screening right now. And she was not on when you initially called in. That's why we missed your screen. Second, Dr. Manning, are you aware right now of our push to see the congressman of what we're doing on a grassroots one congressman at a time movement?
No, I am not. But I'm willing to listen to what your proposals are or is regarding the congressman.
It's no longer a proposal. It's actually a movement. What we have now on wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com on the homepage, which is called page 3, I've dedicated. It's called a sheriff's kit. It's the original in high def Sheriff Joe Arpaio's investigation exposing that phony forged birth certificate on the White House. It also exposes his selective service stamp as being forged, and it also contains a 57-page affidavit sworn and signed by Mike Zulu. That's enough information to kill 10 dead horses.
And if I may interject, Mike, this is sanctioned and supported by Detective Zulu. And, in fact, he has been on standby at some of these meetings with congressmen and actually teleconference in with the meetings for the congressmen that people get these meetings arranged. So this isn't something that you're just doing all by your lonesome. You have the backing and support and cooperation of the Cold Case Posse, and it's correct?
I do have the backing of Mike Zulu. I went to Mike Zulu before I even thought it. When I thought of this idea, he said to go ahead with it. He's well aware of it. We offer the information free. You can download it for free. And if you can't, I am currently printing out some affidavits and DVDs to mail out to people that have requested them. What we're doing, Reverend, is just like you, me, Kirshner does every day, grassroots, one person at a time. We're actually having meetings. We're going to congressmen. We're putting it right in their hands. Excuse me, look at this. Are you aware of this? Stop being a chicken. Get up off the seat. It's time to do your job right now. Reverend, we're not taking no for an answer this time.
Well, no, I will join this movement. I interviewed Mickey Booth today, who tried to present, I believe, that very same document to Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma. I don't know if you are aware of that.
But
yeah, he wouldn't touch it, Doctor. I remember the video. He wouldn't touch the darn thing.
No, he wouldn't, but she certainly presented it, and so I'm very much aware of it. And if you could, you know, forward me the information where I could download the videos, and I will start promoting that that 71-page document signed by Mike Zullo as well. Isn't it? I mean, what have we become in this nation when we can get a sheriff 50 years serving our nation, an honored sheriff, and then and a law enforcement officer of the caliber of Mike Zullo, and yet the congresspersons, not one congressperson, liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat, will actually pick up the document and call for American for the American people to do an investigation. What kind of nation are we living in?
I've heard excuses like
people saying, "Oh, we're going to cause race riots. There will be race riots
exactly.
in the streets." Do you believe that, Doctor? I can tell you now, there are not going to be any more race riots in the streets. There are no black men left on the street to race riot. All those criminals have been locked up. You got 1.2 million black men in prison. The men that are left on the streets, listen, our church is on Lenox Avenue, 123rd Street, in the heart of Harlem. I mean, I'm two blocks away from the Apollo Theater, two blocks away from Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. And when the Trayvon Martin issue, when the George Zimmerman judgment was handed out that Saturday night, Sunday in New York, the place went wild with people protesting, and they marched right by our church, about 700. But can I tell you, here in Harlem, that over that 700 people that marched, nearly half of them were young white girls between the ages of 18 and 30, because there were no black men to march. There ain't going to be no riots. So this business about it creating a riot in New York, in America, is just a farce. It's a flat-out lie. It ain't going to happen. And even if there were riots, if we have to have riots to get justice, then let us have them. But rioting ain't going to never happen in America again by black people. I can tell you that now.
Well, what did Neville Chamberlain get the British from dealing with a tyrant Hitler? So, you know, if we never Chamberlain with Obama and his backers and Chicago goons, we're going to get worse violence in the end when they completely try to take over this country and subjugate all the people and throw the Constitution totally out instead of just pretending it's there and using it when they want to use it.
Well, you know, there's a proverb from years ago that says power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when these dictators and tyrants and these son of Satan Obama types get the taste of power, ultimately, where they can cow down the Congress, cow down the Supreme Court, cow down the media, and put them all under threat, they will not retreat from that power. They will continue, as Hitler did, until utter destruction takes place and the whole world rises up to try to defend itself. But that's what Obama has done. He has power. I've spoken that there's never been a president in all of the history of this nation who has had as much power as Obama for several reasons. One is that our nation has never been as strong economically, technology-wise, or military as it is at present. No other president has enjoyed this kind of power. He ain't never going to give. I don't believe he's going to walk away in 2016. I just don't believe it. I'd have to see it before I believe it.
Well, they have a constitutional amendment cooking in one of the committees right now to do away with the current amendment, which limits the president's term to two terms. They can't get it out of committee, but they might try in the end, or he'll just ignore it like they tried in Honduras. And that's why when the president tried to go extra constitutional, and then the Supreme Court down there and their equivalent of the Congress tried to stop him, and he wouldn't leave, and then the military threw him out, but the back end of the Supreme Court and their Congress, Obama didn't back the Constitution down there. He backed the illegal seizure of power, and Hillary Clinton, the State Department Secretary then, the illegal seizure of power of the current president of president of Honduras. So he's thinking that way. You're right, Reverend Manning.
Well,
you know what? He's got dirt on all these congressmen. These congressmen that go to Congress, so many of them are dirty. They're like the wieners, you know, they're dirty.
They've always been that way. They've never been honorable for the most part. We haven't had this in Congress in quite some time. But, you know, Obama is also backing the overthrow of the Egyptian, though I have no love whatsoever for Mohamed Morsi, who is a Muslim, leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. But that was the overthrow of a duly elected government, and Obama is not standing to, he's really standing with the rebels there. So I suspect that we're going to see between 2014 and 2016, we're going to see this nation turn upside down. We've got financial problems. We got racial problems. Obama has incited more racial hatred between the races. He has crippled the black community, taking them away from seeking the presence of God and the Protestant work ethic and development to just simple pure racism, hatred for white people. I live among black people. I live in Harlem, and I gotta tell you, I've been living for 66 years. I've never seen the kind of animus and hatred among young black children and old black people for white people. At the level I see it now, we are in trouble, and Obama has incited all of this, and I'm not sure how we're going to get out of it except God brings us out of it.
You know about the Cloward Piven strategy, Dr. Manning, I'm sure. He uses solid Solinsky tactics, but the long-term strategy is to bring down our economy, our culture, our constitution, our military, and then manufacture a last-minute crisis to totally instill a crisis so big that the people plead for some strong leader to take over and straighten out. They create the crisis, then they offer themselves up as a solution and declare martial law. I think that's what he's going to be up to.
Well,
Dr. Manning, I know you said you had a half hour to stay on the program. Could you stay a little longer? Because I have Carl Gallup coming on.
I could stay just a couple of minutes more, but I had already scheduled out my evening. I can give a couple of more minutes. I was with Carl Gallup down in Dallas. I'd like to at least say hello to him, but I won't be able to stay much longer than that. Please forgive.
That's quite all right. You stayed long enough. I'm going to bring Carl on the line now, Reverend. He has an update, too. And as long as you need, Reverend, you stay on the line. And I want to welcome my Carl Gallup from CarlGallup.com to the show.
Well, Michael Berlin, thank you so much for having me. And Reverend Manning, what a great honor. I've been listening to you, and as always, brother, I love you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your biblical truth and your political truth and your fearlessness. I enjoyed being with you in Dallas and also being on your radio show some months back. God bless you, Reverend.
God bless you as well, Pastor Gallup. You know, I had Mickey Booth on the broadcast today, and I know you have shared with her, and she's all over the place now. Al Sharpton is going after her. Rachel Maddow is going after her. She's been in the blaze. And it was really a very exciting time that we shared today. And it was an exciting time I shared with you down in Texas. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Please don't stop. Don't let these people in any way intimidate you, because you are waking people up. I would to God we could just get 50 more preachers like you. I believe if we had 50 more preachers like you, Pastor Gallup, all this problem will be over with. Obama will be in Guantanamo Bay.
Well, Reverend Manning, God bless you. You're too kind. You're too kind. Well, there are two of us, you and me, and there are a few more, but we'll keep counting. And thank you. You're very kind. No, you don't have to worry about me backing down from this. I spent 10 years, as you know, in Florida law enforcement. I've been in the line of fire, literally, and I don't scare easily. And this is our nation we're talking about. This is our Constitution we're talking about. This is the future of our children and grandchildren, Reverend Manning. So, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for the fight if the Lord gives me breath.
Well, I know that. I'm confident of that. As I've watched you over the years, I know that you're not going to back down. But you're right. This is our nation, and it's a great nation, and there is no reason under the sun why we should be under such oppression as we are, after so many men and women have shed their blood on foreign battlefields and service persons have stood up for this nation, sacrifices have been made for this nation, and now we are being oppressed by this evil presence in Obama. Listen, Pastor and Commander Kirchen and all, I really need to disengage at this moment. I would that I could stay longer, but I'd made some other appointments because I thought this was only going to be in half an hour. If I'd known I've had so many people to talk to tonight, I probably would have made other appointments, but I need to keep my commitment. God bless
Doctor,
you.
Doctor, how can people contact you?
Owens, please, let's stay in touch. And send me the information you have. I'll call my wife, Elizabeth, on the packet of information to download the videos, the 71-page document signed by Mike Zulu, so I can go to work on that as well.
Dr. Manning, how can my audience find you and listen to you?
They can find me simply at otlah.org, A-T-L-A-H.org. Just punch in that, or just Google my name, James David Manning, and you'll be able to find me. But Commander Kirchner, it's an honor to have sat in that courtroom with you when they were court-martialing Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. An honor to be photographed with you and Rudy Davis, and you are a trooper, and I just thank God. I'm not just handing out accolades here tonight, but I'm just proud to know men of your character, and Carl Gallops and Brother Owens, and I'm just thankful to know your men of your caliber. Please,
well,
thank
you
so much.
Pastor Manning, and I took my oath is a solemn oath, and those last four words I said mean something to me. So help me God.
And
that's why I'm standing up.
Please carry on.
Thank you, Dr. Manning.
Please. God bless you. God bless all of you.
With that, I'd like to go to Carl Gallops. He told me earlier he was kind of short for time. Carl, I was on P.P. Simmons' blog, and I guess you have an announcement to make about your congressman there from Florida.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much. And Commander Kirshner, God bless you as well. Is Commander Kirshner still on?
Yes, yes. Mike asked me to stay on during the whole show, yes. So that's what I'm doing, just standing by and listening and throwing out a comment now and then.
Yes, thank you. Well, Commander Kirshner, I am not so vain to think you would remember this, but many years ago when Obama first went in office, I was on talk radio. I did not have a national program then, but we had a regional show, and I interviewed you because I was still trying to sort through the Obama eligibility stuff. I was listening to people like you, and you were one of the first ones to convince me that I needed to dig further. And once I did, after I interviewed you, I dug further and discovered that you were absolutely right. And, of course, I'm in this up to my eyeballs now, and Mike Zulu and I are you know, daily in communication and working on this. So God bless you for that, Commander Kirsten.
Well, thank you very much. So it was my attorney Apuzzo on with me or just myself?
Yeah. No, your attorney was there, too. Both of you were on the show with me.
I put up a website, protectourliberty.org, that's protectourliberty.org, and that's where you can go get all those interviews that I did. They're on there. I put them up there.
Okay, well, fantastic. Well, let me get back to Mike's question. Mike, God bless you, Michael. Thank you for having me on the show tonight. So you want me to tell the story? Yeah, I promised that I would out this particular congressman. It's an amazing story. I have breaking news on it tonight, something that happened today. So you ready for the story?
I just read the call. Let everybody know. I'm still laughing.
Well, I posted about him. I gave him a real lambasket on my blog, so I hope you humbled him.
It's all Commander Kirshner's blog, too, Carl.
Okay. Well, let me tell you the breaking news. Well, let me tell your story.
Uh-oh.
I think we might have lost Carl. Are you still there, Carl?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Carl, you have as much time as you need, Carl. Go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Sal went off again.
I think we lost him.
Somebody's playing these little Obot gremlins might be up to something again, or the NSA.
Hello, I'm still here. Are you?
Yeah, Carl. If you're in a bad location, maybe you could move around a little bit, maybe go close to a window if you're inside.
I'm in the same place where I do interviews every day.
It may be NSA interfering here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes, go right ahead. Try it now.
Okay, let me give the story. Back in March or April, CPAC 2013, Mike Zullo and I traveled to Washington, D.C. We went to CPAC. We went to Capitol Hill. We spoke with several congressmen and other VIPs about the Obama fraud case. And we went to I'm sorry? Hello?
I can still hear you.
I'm calling. It seems like there's lines crossed or somewhere.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys. This is frustrating. I'm so sorry. Can you still hear me talk?
Yes, we can, Carl. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Anyway, while we were in Washington, D.C., we went to Capitol Hill. Mike Zullo and I had an appointment to see Congressman Jeff Miller his chief of staff, Dan McFaul. We met with Dan McFaul for about 15, 20 minutes. Jeff Miller was in the House chambers voting, but he came out. We met with Jeff Miller for about 15, 20 minutes, so about 30, 35, 40 minutes total. In that meeting with Jeff Miller, Mike Zullo laid out all of the evidence he had that he could tell him about, told him that we had this criminal case, told him it was a 100% slam dunk. Mike Zullo and Jeff Miller, I don't remember who brought it up first, but they both agreed that when Jeff Miller went back to his home state in Florida in a few weeks, that Mike Zullo could fly out there and that I would meet with them. Jeff Miller is my congressman, and he asked if I would meet with him and Zullo, and as Zullo brought all the evidence, he said he wanted to hear it, and that he also wanted to submit Zullo's evidence to his own investigators and his own forensics people. Zullo agreed that that could all be done. So we went home. In the meantime, about a week or two later, I had not heard from Miller's office, so I started an email correspondence with his booking secretary, Jessica, and his chief of staff, Dan McFaul. I've got that whole email chain. That's what's been posted on the Internet. And the bottom line is, I'll just get to the point, the bottom line is, in that email chain, promises were made from Dan McFaul himself and Jessica, the booking secretary, that Congressman Miller would meet with Lieutenant Zullo and me, and the name Lieutenant Zullo was in the email, and that, as a matter of fact, as Jessica said, Congressman Miller was looking forward to meeting with me and Zullo in Florida. Then a date and time and place were set. The address was given. The day and the time was set. Zullo got plane tickets, car rentals, motel rooms, and we were ready to go. A day or two later, I got a call from Dan McFaul saying that there would be no meeting because Congressman Miller didn't remember ever asking for such a meeting, didn't know that there was a meeting, had no knowledge of this meeting. It was surreal. I was blown away. I said, I cannot believe that this is how you're going to handle it. And he continued to insist that they just didn't remember making such a meeting. I said, well, what are you going to do about this email chain that I have? And the phone went silent. I think they forgot that we had been communicating by email, and I possessed the whole email chain. Now, there's been a lot that's happened since then. I'm going to take a breath and see if you guys can still hear me.
Oh, fine. I think I cleared the problem up.
Okay, good. Well, let me continue with the story because it gets deeper. So I told Dan McFaul that if they were going to handle it this way, if they were going to be this dishonest about the whole thing, that I was going to expose them. McFaul was very upset about that, very concerned. He still was a little, you could tell he was upset because I reminded him of the email chain. I think he had forgotten that when he started this gaslighting attempt on me. Basically, guys, McFaul was calling me a liar, and he basically was saying that I was crazy, that I was insane, that I didn't know what I was talking about, that that whole meeting never occurred, basically, is what he was saying. So anyway, I waited a couple of months. I wrote an article months ago, put it on P.P. Simmons. It went all over the Internet telling what happened, but I left the congressman's name out because I was trying to give him a chance to do the right thing. In the meantime, I sent several more emails asking them to do the right thing. They never responded. So finally, yesterday, I wrote an article, put it on P.P. Simmons, exposed the congressman, gave his name, gave his phone numbers, his addresses, encouraged people to write. I put the entire email chain on the internet for people to read. For your listeners, they can go to carlgallup.com/Freedom Friday. carlgallup.com/Freedom Friday. And at the top of the page, they'll see the link, Congressman Miller's email. But anyway, bottom line, this morning, now tomorrow is my show, Freedom Friday with Carl Gallup. I have a national and international audience, and I will be talking about this. But today, I was filling in. I was guest hosting on a regional station. We reached four states on the Gulf Coast. I was guest hosting on Open Mic. Mike Mashburn, the host, was not able to be there, so I had the whole show. And I exposed this to the region in which Congressman Miller is the representative. And the radio show went wild. Our phone lines were jammed and slammed. We started getting callers telling us that they had been calling Miller's office. Dan McFaul was answering. And in spite of the fact that I'm reading the emails over the air, Dan McFaul was telling callers this morning that the meeting was never agreed upon, that they didn't know what I was talking about. The whole time he's telling the callers that, I'm reading the emails from Dan McFaul, wherein he said that Congressman Miller would meet with me and Zulo. I'm reading the emails from Miller's booking agent, booking secretary, Jessica, saying that Congressman Miller was looking forward to meeting with me and Lieutenant Zulo. So in spite of the evidence, in spite of the emails, in spite of me being on the radio, the congressman's office, his chief of staff, is continuing to perpetrate, continuing to tell these lies. Now, in the meantime, one caller said that Dan McFaul claimed that they would be glad to meet with me privately without Zulo because I was Miller's constituent and Zulo was not. Well, two things about that. First of all, Zulo is a constituent in that Congressman Miller is a U.S. congressman, and Zulo is a law enforcement officer with criminal evidence against the president, and he has been in Miller's presence. So in that state, in that condition, Zulo is a national constituent. Now, I am a local constituent, so I called their bluff today. I wrote them an email and said, yes, I'll be glad to meet with Congressman Miller, provided I can videotape the entire meeting and have a witness. Because, you know, they've already lied so viciously to me and about me that there's no way I'm going to have a private meeting without recording it some way. We'll see if they agree to that. I doubt seriously if they will. I have no idea why they would want to meet with me privately when Zulo is the one that holds all of the criminal evidence as the official investigator. But it's just an amazing thing, guys. This guy, Jeff Miller, is a Republican and supposed to be a conservative, fair-haired boy, and he's playing the tactics of the liberals, the socialists, and the Obama bots. He's using the very same tactics. And instead of being a man and living up to the meeting that he arranged, he is using his minions to try to convince me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm sitting here holding the emails in my hand, reading them over the air. And that's just about the story right now. But it's going to continue to go as long as they continue to deny it. I'm going to continue to talk about it in every venue that I have.
I know we've been following it, waiting for you to release the name of the person that you were going to have the meeting with, and then that turned things around. It's an unbelievable call. You think he got scared? Do you think somebody got to him? Or do you think at the very beginning he was just lying to you just to brush you off and get rid of you?
Well, here's what I think. I've known Jeff Miller for a long time. This is not a personal vendetta. I have been a supporter of Jeff Miller. I supported him when he ran the first time. I was instrumental in helping him to get in office the first time. I have spoken highly of him over the radio for years. So this is not a personal vendetta. Jeff Miller has never done anything to me. I've never done anything to him. We're not enemies. There's no behind-the-scenes story to this. It's just that I've been after him for years to talk to me about this Obama fraud thing, and he has continually brushed me off. And then finally, when I was in Washington, we sat down with him. Now, so I can tell you, Michael and Commander, I, I, I think one of two things happened. Now, I'm only speculating, but this is what I think. I think that after he made, because he and Zulo literally made this appointment together in person, and then he instructed Dan McFall to make it happen. I mean, I heard all of this. And then I got up and went with Miller to the House chambers, shook his hand and said, now, Jeff, and Jeff and I are on a first-name basis, and we have been for years. And I said, now, Jeff, you're not lying to me about this, are you? You're going to meet with us. And he said, Carl, we're good to go, and smiled and shook my hand. So I think he was very sincere at the time. He seemed to really want to hear the rest of this evidence. So I think one of two things happened. I think he got to thinking about it. This is number one. And realized that if he ever saw this evidence with his own eyes, he would then be culpable. He would then be responsible and accountable for his oath of office. He would then have to do something. Now, if the evidence was a bunch of junk, he wouldn't have to do anything. But I think he realized that this is for real. This is not tinfoil hat stuff. This is real, live criminal evidence, which, by the way, guys, has now been peer-reviewed by scores of VIPs all over the nation. So I think he realized that. That's one thing. I think he might have gotten cold feet. He probably called his chief of staff and said, make this meeting go away. I think the chief of staff handled it badly. I think he thought, I don't know if he knows me. I think he thought he could just brush me off, make me think I was crazy, lie to me, and I would go away with my tail between my legs. Or number two, I think he ran this by some upper, higher ups in Congress. Don't know who that would be, Boehner or somebody. And I think they told him, perhaps, and I don't know this, perhaps they threatened him. I mean, with all the NSA spying and the FBI spying and all of that, and, the IRS, there's no telling what somebody might have said to Jeff Miller. And then that caused him to do. Yes.
I think number two is probably the most likely, because I see a pattern here. That congressman that Mickey Booth tried to give Zulo's evidence to refused to take it in his hand. I think they've been told from the top, don't accept it, don't meet with Zulu, don't touch his evidence, so they can have plausible deniability.
Well, I think I think you're right, Commander. However, you and I both know at this point to argue plausible deniability would be ludicrous, because
I heard Detective Zulu on the phone say that's what one congressman told him, never heard about it, even though all of them got boxes of petitions.
No, I know, and I agree with you, Commander, but I'm saying that legally, technically, they cannot claim plausible deniability because they got boxes, they've got the information.
Mm-hmm.
We've met with them personally. The affidavit.
I ran 2.5 years of ads in the Washington Times on the issue.
Yeah. I know. There's no way that they can claim that. But I think one of those two things happened, Commander and Michael. I think one of those two things, that's only speculation on my part. I have no way of knowing. It's either that or they're just complete idiots in that office. And I've known Jeff for a long time. He's not an idiot. He's not. Dan McFall, I think, has a pretty impressive resume. I think somebody told me they thought he used to work for the FBI himself. So these guys are not idiots, so it has to be that they just wanted some plausible deniability. They got to thinking about it, or somebody has gotten to them. They've been threatened. I don't know what else to think, guys.
Carl, I want to respond to a couple of people that are in my chat room right now. We have JY1977, who says, hammer their congressman at the town hall. Go to my website, wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com, get the sheriff's kit. And I have a question for Mountain Goat. They want to know, Carl, they're asking you if you think this is a pattern with the congressman, what your congressman did to you.
Well, it seems to be. I mean, I watched this happen with Jeff Miller calling me a liar, basically, through Dan McFall. I watched what happened with Mickey Booth with a congressman saying, I don't give up, an expletive, and refusing. Other congressmen saying, wow, I didn't know anything about this. I think it's a pattern. I think we're seeing it. And I'm telling you guys, I believe that Congress is absolutely complicit in this. They're culpable. I think they know it. I think they're terrified of this being exposed because they failed to do their constitutional due diligence 5 years ago. And I think this is why they keep trying to shove it aside because
well, you,
technically...
Carl, you know- You know how they rationalize this in their brain, I think, psychologically? They think they're protecting we Americans from a race riot, they are somehow protecting us from the total violence in this country. But they're just making it worse.
Yes. General Paul Vallelet went on a national radio talk circuit several years ago and said that he knew for a fact that the FBI knew that Obama was not eligible and that key congressmen knew that Obama was not eligible. And General Paul Vallelet said, but they told him, and this is what Paul Vallelet said on the radio, they told him they did not want to act because they were afraid of a black backlash. That was what the words he used. I agree with Reverend Manning. I don't think that's going to happen. I think higher of our black population in this nation than our liberal politicians do. I do not think the majority of black people will riot once the criminal evidence is laid out there, number one. Number two, if blacks and or whites did riot over this, I'm like Reverend Manning. Let them riot. Let them pay the consequences, because if we don't follow the law, then we're just going to be a banana republic where the most violent mob rules the day, like what's happening in Egypt right now. I do not want us to be in Egypt. I do not want us to be a Cuba or a Venezuela. We have got to be a constitutional republic. We follow the law, and whatever happens, happens, and we need to be men and women enough to deal with it.
And the longer this goes on, the more people Obama is getting in the critical positions that support his agenda.
Yeah, well, that's true. And the longer this goes on, the wimpier and wimpier our representatives become, even
right.
Those who claim to be conservative. And it's only going to get worse. I mean, we have got to get these guys out of office. We've got to quit voting for the same ones to go right back into office. They get arrogant.
Do you know Colonel West, Carl? Do you know Colonel West? Why did he go from, I'm going to go up there and shake up these Obama about the eligibility issue, to when he got there, and now he says nothing about it?
Well, I don't know if you read my story on that, but Mike Zullo and I confronted Colonel West. Yes, I know him. I've had several personal
mm-hmm.
conversations with him. We confronted him at CPAC, and he told Zullo to his face. After Zullo presented the evidence, he said, well, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, well, I see it. It's condemning. It's powerful. But I'm not going to deal with it because I might want to run for office in the future. In other
it's all
words,
about them.
Alan
about
Webb.
Them.
Do what?
It's all about them, not the country, not the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
Not what's right
and
wrong. It's all about them.
That's right. What I was going to say is Alan Webb, who claims to be this big hero of the conservative movement, on this issue has become a wimp of a man, in my opinion, and Seoul is selling the country down the river for the sake of him gaining a little 2-year political office. It's just astounding to me. It's despicable. It's sickening. To me, Colonel West right now is the epitome of hypocrisy.
Carl, I have an update for you that I'd like to give to you right now. And if you're just joining the show, and we've got a lot of people that just logged in recently, I have on the show tonight Carl Gallup from CarlGallup.com, Freedom Friday. He does a show every Friday on WEBY 1330 from the great state of Florida. I have Lieutenant Commander Charles Kirshen, a retired. Carl, when you first said that you had a problem with that congressman and he refused to meet you, I asked your advice. And you know, I met with my congressman, and I got the okay on the telephone, and I would not budge unless I got a confirmation email sent to me. And it took me 3 days to get a confirmation email, and I had it in my hand when I walked in the office. Over this past week, Carl, I've been grooming people and giving them advice. As a matter of fact, today I'm making up more sheriff's kits to people that simply don't have the expertise or the equipment to download them, and I'm going to mail them out tonight. And I've been telling them to give them the same advice. Get an email. Get a confirmation email back from whoever you're going to meet with in your hand. This way you can have evidence in case it doesn't happen. The other thing, Carl, you know I told you on my website I'm going to have a good list and I'm going to have a bad list, and your congressman is going to be at the top of my bad list, and that's for sure, without a doubt.
Well, good. Well, thank you for that. And just recently, you'll remember that Congress the House voted to continue the NSA extensive powers to spy on individual Americans. And that congressman, Jeff Miller, I looked on the list, he was one of the congressmen who voted for the NSA to continue to have that kind of power. He claims to be a conservative, but I'm telling you, by all of his actions in this, he is a Trojan horse.
Carl, there's one more update. I'm not at liberty to say, and I will not say the name of the congressman, but I do have a follower who lives in another area, and I will be meeting with his congressman. I have a confirmation email in my hand. I will be meeting directly with the congressman. He's asked me to attend, and that will be happening sometime soon. So it is working. People are getting grassroots. They're getting the message out that we have to deliver this. If it's one congressman at a time, so be it. And that's what we're going to do, Carl. We do have a meeting planned.
Thank you so much for your work, Michael. That's amazing news. I'm appreciative of it. I, too, am going to have to go very soon now. I've got another appointment in about 10 minutes. But in these next 10 minutes, are there questions you guys would like to ask me? Are there points you would like for me to clarify? Are there questions that your callers are blogging that you would like me to answer for you?
I have a couple of callers on hold. I have one that's been waiting for a while, and I could bring them online.
Okay.
I had a question for Carl. Do that, Mike, when you have a chance.
Yes.
Mike, I have a question for Carl. What about the Ford Selective Service card? That doesn't seem to get enough coverage when we go to these congressmen. As a retired veteran, that is a felony there, too, that needs to be. I know it's in the affidavit and all that, but we always seem to be talking a lot about the Ford's birth certificate, and that Selective Service card gets, like, put aside.
Well, let me explain that. The Selective Service card has been forged as well, and we have the criminal evidence for that. Now, it's not being set aside by Zulo and the cold case posse, et cetera. Zulo has already signed the affidavit, laid that evidence out, and there's more evidence that he has not exposed. But I can say this. What we're trying to do is to say stay single-focused on getting a congressional investigation, guys. Watch. Because if we can get a congressional investigation, then everything can be explored. The Social Security number fraud, the Selective Service fraud, the missing immigration record fraud, the birth certificate fraud, the hospitals that won't claim his birth, the Department of Health and in Hawaii that will not certify, will not show any records, all of the records that have been locked down, his college records, everything. With a congressional investigation and their power to subpoena these people and compel them to testify, then everything can come out in the open. But if we continually pelt these congressmen with every little jot and tittle, it's going to overwhelm them.
My thinking, Carl, is though, as soon as you say birth certificate, all that, quote, birther psychological training that Pavlov's dog kind of thing or whatever that psychological technique is, they immediately react because all they've been hearing is birth certificate, birth certificate, birth certificate, and they've been trained, a picture's been painted of people who are talking about the birth certificate. I just wonder if somebody led with a Selective Service card and put the birth certificate in second position, would it get any more congressmen to listen?
I don't know, Commander. I don't know. I mean, that's up to Sheriff Arpaio and Zulo how they want to pursue it. This is not a birther issue. It is an issue of a criminal fabrication fraud, a felony taking place in and around the president's office on behalf of the president to cover up his real identity. Now, if we discover where he was or was not born in this process, and by the way, we will discover that. And by the way, I've got to be careful here, but we pretty much already know. But anyway, bottom line is this issue that we're trying to get the congressional investigation on is, number one, who fabricated a fraudulent identifying document for the man in the White House, the commander-in-chief? And number two, why did the White House feel the necessity to fabricate the only identifying document that America has ever seen, to identify who the commander-in-chief of our military forces is. Those are huge questions, and they go to the Constitution, and they go to criminal laws being violated, and that's the tack that Zulo and Arpaio are following.
Call, I'm going to go to a caller. I'm going to give you an example of what's going on my website. I have a caller that's been holding on patiently. His name is Jeff. I'm going to hand-deliver him the sheriff's kit. You know I travel about the country, so I have the opportunity to meet a lot of people. Jeff has a comment for you. Before I bring Jeff on right now, I have a question that you need to think about, Carl. You can answer later. They want to know about the Xerox thing. I guess people are saying that the birth certificate can be put in the Xerox copier and come out the way it is.
Yeah, I can answer that. I can answer that.
Let's go to Jeff first, Carl, okay? He's been holding a very long time.
Okay.
Jeff, you're on the air with Carl Gallup.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Jeff Harrison. I'm from Reynoldsville, Pennsylvania, Du Bois, Pennsylvania. We're a Tea Party called PennsylvanianFreedomFighters.com, and we're starting a campaign right now where we're trying to meet our legislators, and we're I took an ad out in newspaper that's coming out Saturday and Sunday, local newspaper. We're writing letters. We're making phone calls. And I'm not going to give the names of our who we're contacting, but I can tell you that I got a message that their Twitter account is getting frozen. Basically, I'm asking people out there to get busy, write letters, make phone calls, go see their congressmen, go see newspapers, make handouts, go door to door, get busy and start doing stuff. You cannot sit home and let other people do this work. You have to call your friends and neighbors and relatives. And anybody that you know, and network, network, network. We sent out emails to the tea parties in our area. We're sending out letters. We're doing what we got to do. And you can't sit around and let other people do the work.
Yes, Jeff. What was your question
for
me, Jeff?
Thanks a lot, Jeff. I appreciate it. Do you have a question?
Well, the question is, you know, why aren't people doing what they should be doing? Why are they sitting back?
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, Jeff, Well, thank you, Jeff. God bless you. Thank you. And thank you for the work you're doing. Well, my answer to that would be people are getting involved now. People just have not known what to do, and they were frustrated. I mean, if Sheriff Arpaio couldn't get Congress to listen to him, people sitting at home watching the news at night felt completely powerless, which is what the Obama administration had counted on. But what they forgot was is that there were tenacious people out here, Mike Zulo, Arpaio, myself, Mike Bolin, Commander Kirshner, and others, who are continually pushing this until now we do have the ear and the attention of congressmen and sheriffs and police chiefs and attorneys and judges and constitutional attorneys across this nation. And now we've got the Supreme Court of Alabama's attention and a 71-page affidavit filed with them. And now we've got Congressman Steve Stockman and Ted Yoho and others around the nation who are saying, you know what, we need to get this before Congress. So this thing is rolling along and heating up. And so I would say, Jeff, people are getting involved, and we've got to continue to educate them on how to get involved, get the sheriff's kit, make phone calls, send letters, do emails, blog about it, pass our videos around, our websites, our radio programs. We've got to overcome the mainstream media's blackout. We're doing that, so don't give up hope, Jeff. These things take time, but I'm telling you, folks, I want you to know this really is moving along quickly. I know to the average person who's been sitting out there watching this for 5 years, they think it has been grindingly slow. But you've got to remember, this criminal investigation has only been completed in the last 2 years under Arpaio. Before that, we did not have anybody that had investigated it. So it's only been 2 years since we've had the evidence in hand. And it was slowed down for a while because Arpaio and Zulo were flabbergasted when the mainstream media refused to carry it and no one refused to investigate it. So it's only been in the last few months since Zulo and I went to CPAC that this thing has rolled along. And in the last few months, it has gone from zero all the way to where it is now, with congressmen running around scared, with other congressmen like Stockman getting on board, with all of these VIPs around the nation now knowing about it, with the affidavit being filed in the Supreme Court of Alabama. I mean, this thing is moving along literally at lightning speed right now. So because it got a jump start just a couple of months ago. So, Jeff, I would tell you and Mike, I would tell you and your listeners, be patient, keep praying, keep working, keep trudging along, because this is moving forward.
The far left, the communists, they've been working on this for 50 seconds. Years.
I'm sorry, both of you were talking, I couldn't...
Could you give me a 30-second answer about the Xerox issue? Because I have a caller on the line.
She
contacted
me
last week. She downloaded the kit. She went to her congressman, and she just got back from a conference call, and she's waiting on hold to speak to us. What about the Xerox?
Yes. Here is what I'm at liberty to say. Mike Zullo is completely aware of every bit of those allegations and that information, and here is my 30-second statement. It is of no concern. It is of no concern. That's all I'm going to say. It is of no concern. Do you understand, Mike?
I have it, Carl, and I'll address it later on. Carl, I'm going to go to this caller. She contacted me last week with this grassroots movement, Carl. It's really moving. And my call screener, my dedicated call screener, Mona, has told me that she just had a conference call with her congressman, and I am going to bring Leslie on the line. Leslie, welcome to the show with Carl Gallops.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Leslie. Thank you for calling in. God bless you.
Well, I guess you wanted me to talk about my experience.
Yes.
In presenting, basically, I went to a town hall on Saturday. My sister went with me, and I had letters ready to go because I knew we were supposed to be thanking Congressman Stockman and trying to get our congressman on board. And so I had letters ready to go, and I was going to take the document since I was going to go meet with him. I wouldn't have to spend postage. And so I did that, and I recorded it and posted it on YouTube, and then it just went viral. And I've gotten, I will say that, the attention from the left has been horrific. I mean, they badmouth me. I chose my words very carefully. And basically, I just said that I had wanted to give him an affidavit from Mike Zullo that is evidence that the birth certificate of Barack Obama is a fraud and forged, and that I wanted him to look at the information and get back to me and let me know if he would support the three representatives, and I told them by name and by state. And he took the document and gave it to his assistant and said he would look at it. And then he went on to talk about impeachment. And, you know, bless his heart, he's a good man, he really is, but he's screwed up talking about impeachment. I did not want him to address impeachment. I didn't even say the word. And the issue that I brought up isn't a birther issue. It is a felony issue. And
I agree.
Yeah, I have been fighting that battle. The comments on his Facebook page of people that are Obama supporters, it's really interesting to me that Obama supporters never provide anything substantial to a discussion. They always insult.
Well, and Leslie, let me just interject and say, welcome to my world for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And number two, don't worry about that. They're irrelevant, Leslie.
I am proud that I ruffled their feathers.
Yes, they are irrelevant because they have no facts. They have no truth. All they can do is try to marginalize you. But people understand that now. They're catching on to that. That's communist tactics. That's socialist dictatorship tactics. And,
exactly.
And it's becoming exposed, and they are more and more irrelevant. And so let me just say to you, Leslie, and to you, Michael, you were asking about the Xerox machine. Here's the thing. The Obama bots are dying for me or Zullo to talk about what we know about that. They think they found the goose that laid the golden egg. And they're dying to know what we know about it. Well,
exactly.
Zullo and I, we are not going to expose. This is a part of a criminal investigation. And when it comes before Congress, then Congress will know everything. But I can tell you, it is of no concern. And you got to ask yourself, why would these guys, 5 years into this, all of a sudden say, oh, we've got a particular machine that can do these things. I mean, just think about what they're doing and the timing of what they're
absolutely
doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Leslie, hang in there. Don't worry about them. They are irrelevant. They're a bunch of whiny babies. They have no facts. They have no truth. We have the facts, the truth, and legal evidence on our side, and we will prevail even if it's years from now, and I know you don't want to hear that, but what I'm trying to say is the truth will come out. Listen, people like us, we've already been vindicated. That 71-page affidavit vindicates us. The vetting of this before sheriffs and police chiefs and attorneys and constitutional lawyers and elected officials and congressmen who have seen this, and not a single one of them has rejected it as being bad investigation. Every one of them have hailed it as a monumental investigation. We have been vindicated. We are right. We have been right all along. Now it's just a matter of getting somebody to do something about it. So don't worry about it, Leslie. You are right. You are in the right. The Obama bots are irrelevant.
You got a court-certified document examiner, too, that stands behind us now.
Yes, Reed Hayes, who was a part. Yeah, thank you, Leslie. Reed Hayes, as you guys know, who was an expert witness for Perkins Coie out of Hawaii, who is Obama's law firm that he has used to defend his identity fraud. Reed Hayes was used by them for years and has testified for them, but now he has filled out a 40-page affidavit agreeing with Zulo's investigation and declaring that the birth certificate is a complete fabrication. I'm telling you, these guys running around talking about a Xerox machine, let me just tell you, it is of no concern, okay? I keep saying that because I know Obama bots are listening to us right now, and I want them to know it is of no concern, and that's all I'm going to say.
Carl,
and you're burning up my chat room. That's the number one question. Commander, hold on 1 minute.
Yeah,
Paul,
sorry, I want to tell Carl Leslie something.
I have my next guest holding on very patiently, Paul. I really appreciate it. I know we get passionate. Paul, you have about 1 minute to tell people where they can find you.
Thank you. Find everything about me at carlgallup.com, carlgallup.com. I'm the founder of P.P. Simmons. I'm a pastor. I'm a radio host. I'm an author, a best-selling author. Thank you, Lord. And everything about me is at carlgallup.com. Links to every one of my sites is at carlgallup.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. I guess our next show will be on the Xerox machine.
Okay.
Mike, I just wanted to relay something to Leslie if she's still listening. It's an old military term. You know you're on target or over the target when you're taking the flak, Leslie.
There you go. That's good. That's good. Commander Kirshner, what an honor to be with you today. And Michael Bolin, thank you so much for having me on your show. You guys keep up the good work. God bless you. I'm praying for you. You pray for me.
I'm praying for you,
thank
too.
You,
and bravo Zulu for all you're doing.
I will. I will. I will let him know. God bless you both.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
That was Carl Gallup from carlgallup.com. You can also catch him on Fridays at Freedom Friday, WEBY, 1330 AM from Milton, Florida. I listen to him from TuneIn Radio, and I never miss an episode. Okay, with that, I want to move along right away. I have a guest that's been holding patiently. Been in contact with him, heard him, listened to him, read him, actually had him up on my website for a while. But not since I've been advertising the sheriff's kit, because we're on the move with that sheriff's kit. And like Leslie downloaded it, and Jeff, I'm going to hand deliver it to. With this person, his name is David Laurie Vanderbeek. He is running for office, and I will bring him on the line and let him tell you who he's running for and what. And with that, I'd like to welcome David to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
David, you're on here.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you. Appreciate it.
David, thank
yeah,
you for
I
holding. I don't know if you hear, we got a little passionate there at the end.
Oh, that's great. I mean, we have to have energy and we have to have passion for what we believe in, especially in the cause of truth. I am the next governor of Nevada. People can go to the website, nevadagovernor2014.com. And they can review the platform there and get familiar with the the campaign. There's also the fan page, the facebook.com/DavidLaurieVanderbeek, and you can contact me there. I'm just answer a message there from people while I was listening to you and are checking in some things. So, yeah, I mean, also hearing about this birth certificate issue is something you've been focused on. We talked a few months ago about it, and, yeah, I'm happy to visit with you about that or whatever else you wanted to address.
David, I asked you to be on the show to get the word out that you're running for candidate. You're running for governor because you are the candidate. The other reason is the same reason as the first reason. When we spoke about the birth certificate, you just came out and you said what it is. You said the facts. You didn't hold back. You didn't say, well, I don't know. Let's give the guy a chance. We based our conversation on the facts. What is your take about this whole thing, Dave?
Well, I mean, there's lots of aspects to it, and I guess, you know, I heard some of what you were all speaking about, but I had to come into the show late, and so I don't want to be redundant, but, you know, maybe it always bears repeating. We have a gentleman who's in the White House, and we don't really know his origin. You know, the Constitution has some pretty clear things. It requires people to be citizens of the U.S., natural born. Actually, an immigrant can't be the president of the United States. It's not clear who Obama is. What it seems to be apparent is that he's lied about who he is. I mean, there's strong indications that his father is probably Frank Marshall Davis, which was the man that was kind of his mentor in Chicago, who's a communist organizer and a pornographer in Chicago. So if that turns out to be his father biologically, that's a problem because that's not what he said. I mean, I think, you know, there's the argument that his father was Kenyan, that he was born in Kenya, and then there's the issue of whether or not his citizenship was surrendered so that he could go to school in Indonesia. There's the issue of using the name Barry Satoro. There's the issue of the birth certificate. That's just the documentation piece, which is a felony offense, you know, to forge a document and then present it to the American people. So these are all valid concerns. They're all valid questions. They all deserve attention. It's not a hoax. It's not a silly game. One of the things, if you go to my website, and part of my website is a response directly to this, and that is it's got a tab about David, and you can go and and I think every leader should be able to do that. They should be able to present their bloodlines. They should be able to present a valid birth certificate, which I can present. I can do that. I can present a valid birth certificate to anybody, the actual hard copy, and I'll show anybody face-to-face who wants to come and meet me. My genealogy is published, record from our family. And today, through DNA testing, you can actually literally know. I've had my DNA tested, so I can physically be connected to whoever that need be, and so the human family can literally be put together properly. And then there's the other piece where Obama seals his school records. He seals things up about him. So there's just so many problems, and there's just no excuse for that. I mean, we have the technology and the ability to be completely transparent with people about where we come from. And so when you're dealing with leaders today, you should know them. You should know them intimately. There's no reason not to. I mean, a leader should want you to know them. In a sense, that's kind of the price. People have a right to their privacy, but when you get into public office and you present yourself one way, you have chosen to sacrifice. You voluntarily gave up your right to privacy by becoming a public leader, and I've accepted that. So I think every leader needs to accept that. I think Obama needs to accept that. And I think the more people learn about him, it's not just that his politics are bad and destructive, it's that he is an imposter. So anyway, having said all that, these are just thoughts that I have.
This is Commander Kirchner. I was going to suggest to you, you're running for governor out there, is that right?
Yes, sir.
I think if anybody asks you on the stump about this, the first thing you should say is give them the soundbite. There needs to be a congressional investigation into the true legal identity of Mr. Obama. and then let them ask you why and give them all the rest. But you got to give them that soundbite right out front. All these politicians would just start saying there needs to be a congressional race.
You didn't build that.
People would just simply say there needs to be a congressional investigation and keep saying it anytime somebody asks them this question, maybe that soundbite would get traction and help the congressman to do something. Just my idea.
No, it's a great idea. I wish more people would ask about it. but it is like your guest said, the previous guest said, it's moving forward among the leadership, even if it isn't caught on with the general public yet. I mean, all
no, the leadership is blocking it. The leadership in Congress is blocking the investigation. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
the John Boehners are stopping this.
Sure, sure. Well, they have a vested interest in their lives, so.
You mentioned before DNA, and I've gone over this in previous shows. People have asked me, why you have so much interest in this birth certificate? And this is the answer. We just knew who our candidates were before. We never had to question where our candidates were, what their background was, where they were born, who their parents was. It was a timeline that you just knew. Now, with Obama popping up like a jack-in-the-box, we have no idea. David, how did you first hear about this controversy?
Well, it was the gentleman, his first name is Phil, but I can't remember. He was doing a lot of radio shows, and he was a Democrat, and he'd actually been investigating things as an attorney. And so I just listened to what he was saying about how Obama should never have been nominated because he wasn't properly vetted by the Democratic, National Convention. And I am drawn towards people with integrity. So, looking at it more and more, just listening to the question of, the legalities of it, I think that these are all valid questions. Why have laws if we're not going to follow them? I think we should follow the laws that we have. If there's a problem with the law, then we should change the law. But we should follow the laws that we have. They're there for a reason. So.
What we're doing right now, David, to bring you up to speed, and I know I spoke to you this afternoon. I know you went to page 3 of my website. When you go to my website, where'sobamasbirthcertificate.com, we have what's called a sheriff's kit. There's a number of videos you can download. It includes the original Sheriff Joe investigation, laying it all out, with other videos taking the birth certificate apart. I do not have one with a Xerox copy. I have to work on that. And then we have a 57-page affidavit by Mike Zulu from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, laying it all out. And we're urging people to go to their congressman and hand-deliver it. Have a meeting. Some people can't. Some people are going to town halls, and we're doing it one congressman at a time. Some of them are rejecting us, and some of them are actually hearing us. And it is working one person at a time, grassroots effort. It's similar to what you're doing out there in Nevada, David. One person at a time, grassroots effort.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. What changes our country is just—it's not one person. It's this collective effort of many individuals doing good things, and so I would encourage everybody to get involved in this. The question of Mr. Obama's identity and his background, and let's have the truth out. I think we have to alter our relationship with politics. I mean, there's kind of a mentality that it's okay for politicians to lie, and I don't know when that came about, why Americans accepted that their politicians were going to lie to them and that was going to be okay, that would just be a matter of fact, that politicians had the right to be dishonest and be, duplicitous, and I think we need to alter that, and I think we need to re-enthrone truth as a supreme value in our country, rather than deception, rather than fanfare, rather than fakeness, because
politics is based largely on that, on the phony perception of power. And these are just regular people who are liars. And so I want the truth, no matter what it is, no matter what the consequences are, I want to have the truth out. And so I would hope that every one of us would commit to the truth, no matter where it leads us. Because, you know, if you're offended, if someone is offended by the question, if they're offended by an honest investigation into the truth, then that is a personal problem. That's not a problem with the truth. The truth just is the truth. So if someone has a psychological or emotional issue with the truth, then that is a personal problem. That's not our problem. I want to be the kind of person that will face reality, whatever it is.
I don't think they have any idea in the White House what that word means, the truth.
Well, I think that's
it's
right.
It's all about power.
If we were to talk, now, just so your listeners are aware, I'm a marriage and family therapist. I'm a trained therapist. I wanted to work with families. I wanted to work with individuals. That's, you know, something that I wanted to do, and I am able to do that, and I'm grateful for the profession that I'm a part of. If I were to provide a diagnosis for our government, and I could do that, and for Obama, they would be in the realm of narcissists. They would also be considered antisocial. We, you know, a lot of people call it psychopath or sociopathic in the modern, you know, vernacular. For us, it's called antisocial. It's where you really don't have regard for another person's life, but you also think that you're just the supreme character and everyone should bow down to you. So the psychopathic traits of government are really evident. And there's this kind of sedatedness to them, kind of a Prozac or Zoloft type expression. You know, John Kerry is the epitome of, and Obama, we call it a flat affect. We're talking about people who are responsible for the murders of millions of people. We're talking about men who kill children every day, who don't really care about the loss of human life, and you know, they give money to foreign nations. These are the people that arm Al Qaeda. So they are very psychopathic people. They're very narcissistic, and we have to bring their ego down. We have to confront them. The way you deal with a psychopath, the way you deal with a narcissist, is you have to confront their fantasy thinking with reality. And so hammering away at the truth is the way to pull down their arrogance. Because really we're dealing with magical thinking. Obama, this guy that goes to Berlin and 6,000 people show up, and yet he thinks he's still an awesome guy and he's a great leader, he's far gone. So he's not well mentally, in my observation of his behavior, and he's surrounded with people of the same, disorders.
I think he still uses drugs.
Well, there's no reason why not to, because, yeah, they don't get drug tested. We do, but they don't.
David, thank you. David, I have to give a shout-out here before it gets too late. I promised that I would acknowledge Fred in Oklahoma. Fred in Oklahoma, I know you're listening. Okay, well, David, are you familiar with the Muslim Brotherhood and what they just said about Obama? They have the goods on him?
Well, vaguely. I mean, there's what we have are Muslim extremist groups, and that are more strict. I mean, that's the problem is we're dealing with all – when you're talking about the Muslims, you're talking about a billion people who are very – almost a billion people who are very diverse, and so – the Muslim Brotherhood are politically engaged, you know, as I understand it, but they're also more strict in their Muslim views.
They're also a terrorist group, and during World War II were allied with the Nazis.
Well, I wasn't aware that they were specifically allied with the Nazis. I know that radical Islam was had admiration for Hitler, but,
they staffed an SS division that fought with Hitler's SS. The Arab League in those countries provided an SS division to fight with him.
That's what's so important about that is the understanding between the West and radical Islam. And this is something that I want people to grasp. I just did a TV show on it this morning. Look, radical Islam is funded and supported by the West to destabilize the Middle East to justify Western intervention in the Middle East. So, I mean, they're tools that work with, you know, Western governments such as the United States.
And Obama doesn't want the Keystone Pipeline and any other energy projects to go forward in the United States because he wants to keep shipping $400 billion a year over to a Saudi king friend who he bowed to.
Well, and the moment you say that the Muslim Brotherhood says they have the quote-unquote goods on Obama, it almost seems disingenuous, the idea, because, you know, Obama isn't one to oppose radical Islam. So, because he's faced allegations.
So they're using it to blackmail
of,
him. They're trying to get him to
back that,
them,
that's
and that's why there, John McCain and his attached at the hip buddy senator and the number two man at the State Department over there trying to negotiate these guys to keep their mouth shut. Whatever they're threatening to release, they're going to pay them off to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah. That's the problem with having somebody with a secret background. It's also
exactly.
The problem with having somebody that has a background that's maybe immoral, maybe there's sexual indiscretions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerome Corsi's talked a lot about what he believes are the sexual indiscretions in Obama's life that aren't consistent with the family life he presents. And those are fair questions because if a man, okay, let's say I come to you, I present myself, I don't care whether somebody's, from a political, secular perspective, I don't care what somebody's sexual orientation is. What I care is, are they presenting themselves as what they truly are? So if I come to you and present myself as a Christian, straight, family man, then that's what I should be. I mean, I should,
mm-hmm.
I should have integrity in doing that. But if I come to you and say, I'm Christian, and I'm straight, and I'm a family man, but in fact, I'm Muslim, or I'm a homosexual, or I don't really care. My family is just for show. Then those raise significant integrity issues, which would all make me vulnerable to being blackmailed. So when people say, you know, that we're insensitive to somebody else's lifestyle, like Hillary Clinton, because it's alleged that she's going to be announcing that she's engaged in alternative lifestyles, and that's going to be a big part of her 16 campaign for president, you know, to be this all-embracing. Well, okay, that's good if you come out and you say, this is what I am, and this is what I'm about. But if you're dealing with a president who's presenting himself one way when he's indeed another, then, you know, then people like the Muslim Brotherhood are going to take advantage of you to get what they want
in the
Middle East or whatever their agenda is.
You said it, you summed it up very well, David. And Obama said everything and anything that we needed to hear to get him elected. He knew exactly what the country needed and what the country wanted. He said one thing in one state and a different thing in another state. It's unbelievable. You know, I know during the campaign you're under pressure and you have to say things to get people to listen to you and vote for you, but this is a total fabrication. He's a total fabrication. Not only is his birth certificate a total fabrication, his entire life.
Yeah, but see, I can tell you, I have no sympathy for that idea that politicians are under so much pressure that they don't know what they're saying. I feel that's such a cop-out because if somebody indeed uses that as an excuse, then they must not really believe in what they're saying because I really believe in what I'm saying so much so, and I tell the truth as far as I know it, so I don't have to sit and check everything that I've said. If I made a mistake and I was factually wrong in something, I actually want people to point that out, and I'll be happy to share it, and I'll be able to say, look, somebody corrected me. By the way, the National Scout Jamboree is not held every year. It's held every 4 years or whatever. You know, I want to be taught. I want to be correct. I want the truth, and even if it makes me look like I need to learn something, I don't feel bad for that. I don't feel bad for being taught. But,
do the officials take their oath of office seriously, or is it just a ritual and so many words that they immediately forget about? I mean, we've got to get back to the Constitution. That's the glue that holds this country together. If you don't like it, amend it, but don't ignore it.
Okay, so what we have is a culture of persecuting whistleblowers instead. So anytime a whistleblower comes out, so instead of going and fixing the problems and all the deception and the corruption in the government that you're talking about, they started to hunt down people who are trying to come out and tell the truth. That's the culture, that is the human sewage that exists in our government. So I really don't have any sympathy for that, because my campaign platform at NevadaGovernor2014.com has been with me since 2010 when I first ran for office. It's been evolving, it's been growing, it's been modifying, I've been perfecting it, but it's my platform, and I think it's the platform for governor campaigns, because it's states' rights, it's focused on pushing down rights to the natural level of towns and counties where they should be. But it's not something where I have to sit and think, oh, gee, what did I say in that last time? I know what I said, and I'm happy. I want to keep going back to it.
Even our Supreme Court is violating the Constitution, like take with Obamacare. The Chief Justice found a way to say that Obamacare mandate, the fine, was a tax. Well, all tax bills have to originate in the House. This Obamacare originated in the Senate. So when he declared it a tax, the whole bill should have gone down, because it didn't have a clause on the end saying that any part of this is unconstitutional. The whole thing is unconstitutional. He didn't address that. He just declared it a tax. And since the Senate started that Obamacare, you can't have a tax bill start in the Senate. The whole bill should have gone down. So our Supreme Court isn't obeying the Constitution. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and the whole purpose. See, each phrase in the Constitution was placed there for a reason.
Exactly.
See, we didn't want tax bills to originate in the Senate, because this goes back to the fundamentals of taxation, only with representation. And the House of Representatives are only there for 2 years, and they are based on the population, the size of the population, and so they're much more beholden to the demographics of the U.S. than the senators, which are there for 6 years, which is much longer. And so it's really important when people, when you say, well, the tax bill has to originate in the Senate, people may not think that was a big deal.
It has to originate in the House.
Excuse me, yeah. Yeah, that's why it's so important. We want it to originate in the House rather than the Senate, because that's part of the origins of this nation. That's
they're
the origin
closer to
of,
the people. They are closer to we the people.
Yeah, well, they have to be, or they're going to be out in 2 years. They'll be,
right.
You know, that'll be it. That was the intent. Yeah, sure. There's lots of reasons.
I mentioned this on my last show. I'm going to request a money-back guarantee. After you elect an official, after 3 months, we should have what's called an evaluation election. If you didn't say what you were going to do during the campaign, you're out.
Well, I'd be fine with that. I think that's the beauty of that's the power of the internet. I mean, that's the power of technology now, where we can. There's no reason why we can't have more forms of direct democracy. Now, I understand we're a constitutional republic. However much, but the social contract is based on democracy, which is direct democracy, and that is that you commit to this Constitution. Our social contract is the Constitution, and we're saying in our generation that we want to abide by this thing. Well, we ought to understand the contract. So a lot of what we do is trying to educate people to what our social contract is, the U.S. Constitution, and there's a lot of latitude in it. There's no reason why your county couldn't do that or your state couldn't do that. I mean, states have their own constitutions, and each state, see, the states that are going to do well, we're facing a financial apocalypse in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why the governments, the politicians and the financiers and the corporate leaders have established or are trying to put in place a police state, because they know that as things wind down and get worse, because they want to maintain their power, that people are going to rebel and revolt, and even though they don't know why, they don't know what the causes are of this financial collapse and disaster, they're going to rebel.
I got a question for you, David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have an idea for a constitutional amendment. See what you think of it. We've got to get rid of the two-party system, so we should amend the presidential election process, keep the Electoral College there, but basically you don't have to have this – you have an election, and if you don't get a 51%, the top two guys do the runoff, like they do in a lot of states for offices.
Yep.
So that third parties could get started. So if a third party only got 10% of the vote, they wouldn't be guaranteeing, in this case, the Democratic Party is going to be in. There'd be a runoff of the top two vote getters.
Well,
what do you think
of
that idea?
Let me throw this at you. Well, the thing that concerns me is that why is the federal government even that relevant? Because as our Constitution was conceived, states and counties were supposed to be basically the home of our natural rights, and the federal government has become involved in all these issues where it has no business at all. I mean, states, the reason I think of being governor is more important than being president to me, because I can actually work within one state to get one state free and show how the Constitution is supposed to function. I'm not
here
to...
And then we should repeal that amendment that the senators run for popular vote and get them back to being appointed by the legislators of the
state.
Well,
yeah, because fundamentally people... This is why they don't care, because I believe everybody should just hack the voting machines, because they don't care. The whole reason why they put in those electronic voting machines is so that the people's vote is meaningless anyway, but they have a show. It's a show. And so people think that their vote counts, but they don't. I mean, the voting fraud in the voting machines is rampant. It's counted by, I guess, some company that's not even a U.S. company. So the whole idea of direct democracy doesn't really work on an electronic level. It has to be pushed down to the grassroots and done by paper ballots, if it's even to function. And originally, we had a constitutional republic, which was not a direct democracy. It meant that, like you said, the Electoral College was to elect the guy with the most votes was president, the guy with the second most votes was vice president. Mm-hmm. And they were chosen by their peers. So the state legislatures, you know, chose these electors. Mm-hmm. And the state legislatures chose the senators. Mm-hmm. So the senators were directly beholden to the state legislatures.
What do you think about getting rid of early voting? I think that enables the Obama union machines and acorns to move people around the country and defraud the election. I think we all should
That's
vote
one
on
of the
one day.
Gifts.
Yeah, either all vote on one day or one weekend. That's it.
That's one of the biggest scams out there, Commander. David,
you bet.
Voting is one of the only things of power that we have as people. And to take that away and go with electronic voting machines and then have them count it over in Spain, I believe, some of the votes were, and then tell us, oh, no, it's okay, don't worry. We don't have to count our own votes. We trust another country. I was amazed.
But early voting and same-day registration, Mike, early voting and same-day registration, you can move thousands of people from one critical district to another. And these unions and the ACORNs, that organization, they have the ability to do that, and it was done.
Well, what about they do over in India, you know, when you vote on the voting day, and you get a purple thumb to press your vote. I mean, so there's
no way
you can
go back to voting one
time.
Day. If we voted on one day, yeah. David, they couldn't move people around like that from state to state, from critical state to state.
And essentially, when your thumb is purple instead of a sticker, you know you can't vote again. There's your voter ID right there. You don't need to pay to have a new bureaucracy to create a bunch of cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got ink on your thumb. Everybody knows you voted. You're done voting for the day. You got your vote. That's it. You counted. You put it on your stamp, and your paper ballot's counted at the local precinct. Hey, we'll create more precincts. I have no problem waiting. We can wait longer and get those counts in. Yeah, we need to go back to paper ballots. And
and voting on one day or at the most one weekend. And stop this instant registration and no early voting. That's what I would do.
David, I have about 3 or 4 minutes left for you, David, because I'm going to wrap up the show with a recap of what happened today.
Sure.
Why don't you tell people where they can get your TV channel, your YouTube channel, how they can contact you, and how they can donate to your campaign.
Okay, sure. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, Michael, and Commander. Is that what it was? NevadaGovernor2014.com is the website. You can donate there. The Facebook page is David Laurie Vanderbeek. The television show is Occupy Freedom. So we have a television show, OccupyFreedom.us. And so I just encourage you to go check that out. I want to support you. I appreciate the support that I get from people out there, but I'm here to serve you and to be supportive of you. And I really want this birth certificate thing to get taken care of. We need to get this guy out of office. He's a criminal, and he's not eligible to be president of the United States. So thanks for having me.
That's why we had you on, David, because of the way you speak. I really have to give a lot of credit to Mona. She made the arrangements, the schedule, and kept things going there, David.
Does he have
David,
a website?
Thanks very much.
Does he have a website address where we can send donations or whatever?
At the campaign website, there's a tab that says donate. Just click there, NevadaGovernor2014.com. Just one insight into this. People aren't aware of this, how popular this website is. It is the most, probably the single most popular governor campaign by Alexa.com ratings. So it's even more powerful than RickPerry.org, just to give you an example. So it's the content, really. It's the content. It's not me. It's the content of the ideas, including the ideas that you're putting out, all the kinds of things that we're talking about people are starving for. So I hope other governor candidates will catch on and decide the truth is worth it. We just had a mass exodus out of Washoe County where Reno is. The Republican leaders came over to the Independent American Party. I'm not Republican. I'm an independent candidate. So I've totally broken away, and we have a real third party here in Nevada.
Thanks, David. I'll have that link back up on my website. It was there for 6 months, but like I said, I had to take it down. Because I was kind of rushed into getting this sheriff's kit up and running, but I will have the link back up on my website, David.
Thank you. I appreciate all your support.
Okay, that was David Laurie Vanderbeek, NevadaGovernor2014.com. You can contact him there or go to my website. I will have the link back up for him. I was a great guest there, Kirshner, right?
Yeah, refreshing to have somebody that's willing to speak the truth.
Yes.
So many of the current incumbents, they're just cowards. They won't speak out. If they simply would just say, I stand for having a congressional investigation, this at least needs a congressional investigation. That's all they have to say. Get the ball rolling and get on board for a congressional investigation. The reason they won't is because I believe they all know the truth. They just don't want to go there. They don't want it to come out that they've been complicit in covering up a total fraud in the White House.
That's true. I want to go with a quick recap of tonight's show. We had Pastor James Manning on earlier in the show. He's not giving up. He's on a roll. We went into some things. Pastor Manning, being of some age, who grew up in the late 50s, 60s, and 70s, we asked him, and he actually mentioned this, about the birth certificate of the race of Obama's father that was listed. It said African. Well, he never heard of the term African, and neither did I, until the mid-80s, late 80s. He said that it should have been Negro, colored, or black, and I agree with him. And growing up, I never heard the word African unless I was watching Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And I'm sure, Kirsten, you're about the same age.
Yeah, even the term African-American is only several decades old. It doesn't go back to the 60s, you know what I mean? It just didn't exist then. I mean, there were certain terms you were allowed to use, and that was it on the birth certificate. So
Then we had Carl Gallup's on the show with his report, where he ousted his congressman, had an appointment, had emails sent, confirmation emails, and now his congressman is telling his constituents that it never happened. There were no emails. He never contacted Carl Gallup. Carl Gallup never contacted him. Seems like that congressman either got spooked, somebody got to him, or he just doesn't want to hear it. And Carl And we also went over the Xerox issue. The Xerox issue has been coming up lately. I have to do a little bit more into it. You heard Carl say at this time he's not releasing any information about it. I don't know why. I'll have to speak to Carl off the air about it. But he said it's nothing to worry about. Apparently,
you know what? They're desperate. They're desperate. They come up with one red herring excuse after another. You know, first it was the layers, then it was they could explain away the type fonts and the clipping mask and the OCR did it and all this. And after they prove that that didn't happen, then they go to the next excuse. It's just like Obama changes his life narrative every time they, you know, first it was born in Queens Hospital, then he changed it to Capilani.
That's true. I'm going to be fair. There is a question now. You take a birth certificate or document and you put it through a certain Xerox copier and you scan it and it could come out to where the Adobe Illustrator would, I guess, do the same thing as Obama's birth certificate, have nine different layers on it with shadows and white noise and halo and all that.
And it would put a clipping mask in, it would put a clipping mask in there that makes the paper get bigger and smaller. It would make the objects indicate that they're links from where they came, that they were rotated 90 degrees and resized. It would do all that.
Who knows?
The Xerox machine would do that. Baloney.
It may even put the word African on the birth certificate, too.
Yeah, and change the type fonts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Commander, I have about 1 minute for you. I have about 2 minutes at the end of the show. Please tell the audience how they can find you, follow you, and get in touch with you.
Okay, they can go to my website at protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org, or my blog, which is CDR, which is the abbreviation for Commander, CDR Kirchner, K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R, .wordpress.com, commanderkirchner.wordpress.com. Thanks, Mike.
I apologize at the beginning for giving you a promotion. I did call you Colonel. I was tongue-tied, and thank you very much for being on the show, Commander.
Yeah, Mike, you know you're over the target when you're getting flack, and you can see the flack coming at you in the chat room. The obots are there in strength, so you know you were on target tonight when they show up.
So true. Thank you very much.
Right.
Okay, once again, this is Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificates.com. I promise to follow up on that Xerox issue. Sheriff's kit is available on my website, Where's Obama's Birth Certificates.com. Consists of all the videos from the original Sheriff Joe's news conference to the follow-up to Mike Zulu at the Sheriff's Constitutional Conference in June in Missouri, plus all of the taking apart of the birth certificate, plus the forged selective service stamp, plus the 57-page affidavit. It's all downloadable for free. I am downloading them for some people that have requested it. I've had a lot of requests this week for that, and I want to thank everybody for that, and they are going out. It's the only way. We have Congress. We have attention right now. One by one, give it to your congressman. Schedule a meeting, even if it's not a congressman, an aide, chief of staff. Walk in there. Do it the polite way. Lay it all out. What I did is I showed 15 minutes of the original Sheriff Joe's news conference to give a little introduction to validate things, show Sheriff Joe, show Mike Zulu. Then I had a presentation all laid out with the facts. It's all available at wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. I'd like to thank Mona for being with me tonight, for scheduling David Laurie Vanderbeek on the air and getting Pastor Manning. I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room. It was great. There was a lot of debate going back and forth. Once again, I urge everybody, go to wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. Download the Sheriff's Kit. You can contact me through the contact me form on the website, or it's Mike at wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. That's Mike at wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. It really is working. One congressman at a time. I'd like to thank everybody once again for listening. Have a good night, everybody.
If you've got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.